all you moms, moms who mother to those who aren't your blood children, amen. Those of us who just mother just because that's what we do, amen. Thank you to all who serve today, to our ushers and our children's ministry servants, and to our praise team, amen. Thank you so much today, and our musicians, and just everyone who chooses to participate in God's plan and destiny here at Antioch. Amen, amen. Everybody had a good week? Well, everybody had a tough week? Anybody had a tough week? Amen. Some of us have had tough weeks, but we made it through. Amen. Today, we've been talking about David, but we're not going to continue with David today because the Lord gave me another sermon today specifically for Mother's Day. And so we're going to talk a little bit about just, oh, probably the state of some things in our world, in our country. And the title of the sermon is Pass It On. So you can probably guess what we're going to talk about in Pass It On. And what are we supposed to pass on? And I've chosen a mom that has no name, a mom that's just called the Levite woman in Exodus chapter 2. So if you could turn to the book of Exodus chapter 2, and we're going to talk a little bit about Moses's mom. We're going to not talk a whole lot about Moses, but we're going to talk about his mom. Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. If you don't have a Bible, look in the seat in front of you somewhere, and hopefully you'll find a Bible there where you can turn with us. The book of Exodus, second book of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. When you found that, please stand to your feet as we read the word of God. Okay. And it reads like this. It says, "Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. 'This is one of the Hebrew babies,' she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?' 'Yes, go,' she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you.' Ain't it something to get paid to nurse your child? So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, 'I drew him out of the water.'" Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. Thank you, God, for this Mother's Day. And thank you, God, for all those who you've chosen today to be moms. I pray, God, that you would bless us today as we understand, God, your mandate for the future. And Lord God, that you would help us, God, to be good stewards of the children and grandchildren and all that you've placed in our lives, Lord, that we might teach them about you. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my strength and my redeemer, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Well, What a great story about Moses. Most of us have heard something about Moses or know something about Moses if you remember the story back in the first chapter of Exodus. So there was a new Pharaoh in town, a new king in town that did not know Joseph, who had had favor prior to this, but this new king didn't know Joseph. And so, you know, Joseph had become second in command in Egypt and was given charge of so many things by Pharaoh. And so the people of Israel were treated well, even though they were slaves. They did the work. And so this Pharaoh, though, that had come, did not know Joseph and didn't care anything about Joseph. Because, you know, there are some people who are going to come along in your life who don't really care anything about you. They don't know your family. They don't know who you are. And so this Pharaoh was concerned that the Hebrew people were having too many children. And so what he proposed to do, what he thought was going to happen is, he said, they're going to become numerous one day. And they're going to join our enemies. And then what they're going to do is they're going to overthrow us, and they ain't going to want to be slaves anymore, and they're going to leave the country. Because who wants to be a slave? Okay, you want to make that money or whatever you're doing for yourself. And so he said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to drown all the Hebrew male children that are born. And so that's what was going on when the Levite woman gave birth to Moses, is that there was a mandate to drown the Hebrew boys, to leave the girls alive. Why? Because the boys were the ones who were going to do what? Join the army. Amen. And so that's kind of the scenario here. And, you know, I liken that scenario to being born in this world whenever you're born, but especially today, because we're born in a hostile world, a hostile world. Children come into situations that are so incredible. You know, some children, as I say, and have talked to people about so many times, if children could choose their parents, but they don't sometimes. They don't get to choose their parents, and sometimes they just grow up in the most impoverished, in the most hostile, in the most difficult situations. And sometimes children don't even survive the situations they're in because they're killed off by their parents. So just a hostile time. Not just then, but now. No, we don't have people throwing their children in the river, but we do have children who are just failing. Amen? Failing. Those of you, some of you work in the school system or have neighbors or families or people whose children have failed. And I'm using that word. Yes, they failed. Don't give me that "don't write in red ink at school." You failed. Children do fail. And so it's up to parents, it's up to teachers, it's up to those people in authority to make sure that our children, what? Do well. To make sure that, and especially to the parents. It's not anybody else's really responsibility, because you have your children where? At home. And so it's up to the parents to make sure that our children and that your grandchildren, to the best that you can, do well. And how do they do well? God says you got to pass it on. Passing what on? Pass on math? Pass on science? Pass on your heritage? No, God says what? You have to pass him on. So it makes you wonder, where are the children today? Where are they today? And what's going to happen to our children in the future? A greatest responsibility of a parent is to teach them God's principles. Do you have to open a Bible necessarily every day? Not necessarily, but you are teaching godly principles. Somebody was just telling me this week, just going up to, it was my sister and it was a friend of hers, and they were going to get her son from college, his first year. And he rooms with a kid that smells bad, first of all. So he's like, I need to get out of here. You know, so because he wasn't raised that way. And you would think that if your child in college, in a roommate situation, knows that your parents are coming, they would get your friends out the room, if y'all know what I'm talking about. What's wrong with you? that you don't have respect enough for an adult, a parent, someone who's in authority to what? Get your friends out the room. Okay? I'm not going to go into detail, but you all can imagine what I'm talking about. And so that's the kind of society that we live in, a society where many of our young people just have no respect. Cuss your mama out. Cuss your daddy out. Those are the people that brought you into the world. I don't care what they did. Would God do you that way? Just show no. Just nothing. Just whatever comes out, just comes out. It's not against just your parents, but it's against your sisters or whoever it is. But God wants us to be different. To be different, to be different people. To know who he is, because when you know who he is, you're supposed to what? Act differently and do things differently and think somewhat. Use your frontal lobe to kind of figure it out before what? Those words come out of your mouth and before what? You can't take them back. It's like blowing a pillow, old African proverb, blowing a feather pillow. Can you gather up all the feathers once they're blown away? Try it. So you can't gather up your words once they're what? Once they come out of your mouth. You cannot. So it's important, an important lesson today, that we then show our children who God is. That we show them. And you know what? Even sometimes our best efforts don't always lead to the behaviors that we want to see. But at least I can say, you know what? I tried. I did what I needed to do. Now it's on you. You're approaching 18. You're 21. You're grown now. And you can make your own choices, but you have some foundation in your life. The other thing that in here is just about Moses is this Levite woman that we're going to talk about. A testimony to who she is, who saw something in her child, who saw that God has a destiny for her child. And you know what? We ought to see what? That God has a destiny for our children. I don't care how many children you have. For each one, God has something planned for that child. There's just a story told about a pastor. He's a famous pastor in the Chicago area, Lee Eklov. And, you know, he was telling a story about a kid who's 8 or 9 years old. And this woman, Kathy, who asked the elders of the church to pray for him. He was so severely developmentally disabled that he had to be in a facility. She could not keep him at home. But she used to go and visit him every week, and she knew that the Lord was not going to necessarily heal him of all of his disabilities. But she knew that God still wanted her prayers for him. And so she went to the elders of the church and had asked them to pray for her child. And so, she said, one Sunday she brought him to church in a wheelchair, and after service they met in an office and just anointed him with oil and prayed for him. 25 years old now. So he was 9, and now it's 25 years late. Not 25, he's 25 at this point. And she visits him every single week, but he's never communicated anything with her except for laughing sometimes when she entered the room. And it seemed like nothing ever changed with this child. And she said that she had just had her annual consultation with the people at the facility. And she says, in the course of talking to the speech therapist, she said, the therapist says, I think Nicholas is making some progress. We've been using green and red cards for yes and for no. He's learning to point to the right card and answer to some questions. And she said, would you like to see? And she said, of course I would. She said her heart was pounding, and she went to the room, and the therapist held up the red and green cards and said, Nicholas, is your mom with us today? And guess what card he pointed to? He pointed to the green card. Even at severe developmental delay, God still had a destiny for Nicholas, even if it was to know and understand who his mom was. So how much more does God have a destiny for our children that are born normal? Who can think, who are not in that situation. That God has a plan for our children's lives. And after him pointing green and green and green, she was convinced that it wasn't an accident and that he really, really understood. And so what I want to say then about this situation is that, you know what? Prayer changes things. Maybe you don't have access to your children or access to your grandchildren, but you ought to know that prayer changes some things. And that you get together and say some prayers for your children, that God can make a difference in your children's lives. That God has a plan. And a lot of times that plan is just waiting for your lips to God's ears. So don't not pray for your children and for your grandchildren and for those who God has given you to mother. And then the other thing that I want to say is that, you know, just like this Levite woman, don't lose perspective. Don't lose perspective that there's a bigger picture than you. Because there are so many parents who think it's all about me. It's all about them. It's not all about you. Because, you know, once you have a child, you're looking at a bigger picture, a bigger perspective, because God has given you a child to be a good steward over. So you're looking at future things. It's no longer centered on you. How many moms give up stuff just to do for their children? How many? Because many of us do. How many of us have sacrificed? You didn't get clothes. You didn't get no shoes for Easter. You didn't get no patent leather shoes, but the kids got some. You couldn't afford it, but you dressed your children. Those kinds of things. Well, God wants you to do the same thing with his word. He wants you to think about what's in here and what you have to teach your children. Because in a year maybe, those shoes going to wear out. Those dresses are going to get too small. Those suits are going to get too small, right? This word always fits. It never gets too small. It never gets old. Amen? Never gets old. There's always something here to learn. And so, in my first point, we were talking about destiny. It is recognize that God has a destiny for our children. Just recognize that God has a destiny for our children. And what did I say was important? Prayer is important. And having a big picture mentality is important because it's not just about you. So many children want to know, why'd you give me away, Mom? Why didn't you raise me? Why did you let all your stuff get in the way? Why'd your addictions and why just all that stuff get in the way? But thank God there's a God in heaven who still looks out for his people and for people in general. And that you can find the Lord Jesus because he's the best mom that you ever gonna encounter. Your mom may not live up to your expectations and what you always need and always want, because they don't. Because they're people and they're unfinished people just like you and me. But God always lives up to that expectation. So when moms fail, and you know, we're not talking about dads today, but them too, when they fail, when we fail, guess what? God will never ever fail. Never ever fail. So the Levite woman saw something in her child, that he was a fine child, that God had given her this incredible, incredible blessing and had placed in her heart that he was not going to succumb to the things of the world that were going on around her. So she had to go to some extremes, didn't she? She had to take a chance and put him on the river, but she had to what? Get a basket for him. Weave it together. She ain't just find no basket, y'all. She had to weave it together with some reeds and some stuff and take some stuff from around the seashore to make sure that it was gonna what? That it was gonna be sturdy enough to hold the baby. And then she had to pitch it and tar it, which means that she had to find some stuff for building. And she had to put it in between the reeds because, you know, if you put just weave together some reeds, after a while, the water is going to saturate the reeds and it's going to what? It's going to sink. So she had to make sure that it was covered with pitch and with tar so that the elements would not affect the basket. And so that's what she did. Families are worth fighting for. That's what I want to tell you. Families are worth fighting for. Your family is worth fighting for. Your family is worth going the extra mile for. Your family is worth working three jobs for if you have to do it. Your family is worth being cared for. Amen? Because that's what your kids see. You give them those principles and those things when you are able to model them for them. Everybody listening? Amen. Families, God has protective love for his children. He protects in the same way that we should be, to have that protective love for our families and for our children. Mary Thomas was a single mom of nine, living in Chicago's rough West Side neighborhood. Seven of Mary's nine kids were boys, young men, constantly stretching the boundaries of their tired mother's authority and patience. One day, in 1966, Mary opened her front door to find 25 street thugs on her stoop. The men, members of then notorious Vice Lords gang, had come to recruit her seven sons. Mary, hearing their intentions, dropped her gaze and said, "Okay, y'all hold on just a second." And closed the door. When the door opened again, the first thing the Vice Lords saw was the barrel of a loaded shotgun. She said, "There's only one gang around here, and that's the Thomas gang." With that same fortitude, Mary Thomas ushered each of her nine gang members to their high school graduation. You may have heard of her youngest son, pro basketball player and Hall of Famer Isaiah Thomas. You gotta go to extremes. I'm not suggesting you go to the door with a shotgun. But what I'm saying is, at the time and in the moment, you have to go to some extremes for your children sometimes. Sometimes you just do. Sometimes you just have to make things happen because families are worth fighting for. A family that fiercely defends and provides a safe haven for kids, they need to grow, helps them to grow and find their place in such a chaotic world. And we still have to remember that God has a motherly love for us that oftentimes goes to extremes. Because the extreme for God was the cross. That was extreme. Extreme for a people, extreme for a creation that was lost in a chaotic world, in a sinful world, a world from which we would never, ever win. We couldn't win. We couldn't win without the cross. There was no recovering from sin. There's no getting close to God. There's no knowing the Creator without repentance for sin. There is none. So he went to extremes for us. Amen? Next, how many of you know God's not finished? I know he's not finished with me because some days I'm over it. Ain't you ever over it in any day? Anybody ever over it sometimes? Anybody have a perfect day all the time? Nobody has a perfect day all the time. Sometimes you're just over it. You know, you're just over it. I had my test this week and stuff, and I still haven't seen a whole lot of change. And I'm like, you know what, Lord, I'm just over it right now. And he said, just a little while longer. And I'm like, really? Seriously? Okay. But you know what? It's tough. Because sometimes you have to what? You have to encourage yourself in the Lord, because every day is not like that. We're unfinished people who God is still in the process of finishing in certain areas. Everybody's got their stuff, right? Everybody's got something God is trying to work on and trying to fix and trying to perfect and trying to move us in a direction. And so we can't be what we need to be to our children, right? Without growing ourselves. We have to grow ourselves. Try being always perfect to your children. Try not yelling at them sometimes. Just try it. It doesn't work all the time. But as you let God work on you, then God begins to give you what you need for your children. He begins to give you what they need from you. How many times have you just watched, just if you do anything with social media or you do anything with television or movies or anything, and you see how many children don't get what they need from their parents because they don't know any better. And so it's up to us so many times to be the people we need to be, to speak truth into people's lives and to speak truth into our children's lives as well. Always speaking truth, always having to counter the negative and always having to counter the chaos that they have to endure. I want to read you a story. It's a little bit lengthy, but you're going to laugh during the story because it's kind of funny. So it's by Nancy Ortberg, and she's a mom, and they pastor, I want to say Chicago as well. Her husband does. But anyway, she tells a story about motherhood, and I can relate, and I'm sure most of you will be able to relate if you're a mom. Says, when I became a mother, and it's called the Jekyll and Hyde nature of motherhood. Says, in her sermon, Jekyll and Hyde of Motherhood, she talks about how motherhood brings out the best, the Jekyll character, and the worst, the Hyde character, in most women. And she says this, when I became a mother, I found a Jekyll inside of me. For the first time, there was a person in my life whom I loved more than I loved myself. I was doing unselfish things because I wanted to. I was becoming a patient and kind, calm, reasonable, generous, thoughtful, loving person. I thought, this is a good thing, this person who is emerging. I loved being a mom. But then there's another person who comes out sometimes when I am a mom. A person I don't know, and I want to say, who is she? And how can I make her go away? At one time, I had a 3-year-old, a 2-year-old, and an infant. I awoke to the fussy baby. He clung to me like a baby monkey hangs on to his mother and would not let me put him down. While Johnny was clinging to me, my toddler was unwinding the toilet paper and making designs in every room of the house. She also took all the books off the shelves and started tearing pages out of them. While this was going on, my 3-year-old was begging me to play Candyland. I hate Candyland. There was a mound of dirty laundry threatening to suffocate me. There was no food in the house, and I had to go to the grocery store. Well, at the grocery store, I had the baby clinging to me, a toddler in the grocery cart, my other one running up and down the aisles, and the grocery cart was so full I had to kick the pad of diapers down the aisle. In the toilet paper section, I fought to hold back the tears as I thought, what am I doing with my life? Look at me. Back at home, I unloaded the groceries, fixing lunch while the ice cream melted, because you know you forget to put the ice cream in the freezer. Then I took the kids to the park before rest time. A park with 3 children is not fun. I kept counting. 1, 2, 3. I came with 3. I've got to leave with 3. By the time I got home, I hated myself. I hated my children. I put them in their rooms and shut the doors. Of course, none of them slept. And I went into the garage and I cried. I just thought, I'm going to lose my mind. I felt like I was becoming an impatient, frazzled, rude, angry, frustrated mom, and I was splitting into two people. Not all moms are like that. I know moms who are patient and kind toward their children almost all the time. I admire them. I don't like them, but I admire them. That is not me. But just when you think you've got God figured out, he goes outside the lines. He meets you in 100 different ways. And he does something amazing you that by telling you that he loves you even with that high creature living inside of you. God is interested in redeeming that creature and changing it. If you're honest, you can say Hyde lives in you. I know Hyde lives in me, but the good news is that Jekyll lives there too. And I can celebrate that person who is like God. And I'll go even a little bit further and say, I can celebrate that person who is becoming like God. Little story. I can identify with that sometimes. Can you? If you're a mom, you can. If you're honest, you can. Because every day has not been a great and wonderful day. And you look at somebody and say, oh, she's so nice. And then you kind of look back and like, oh, you're not that nice today. You're not that nice today. God wants to do something continual in your life. Continually. And so if you're a mom or you're thinking about becoming a mom, you know what? It's not just about having a baby, but it's about letting God work in your life. It's about becoming the person that he wants you to become so that what? So that you have God to give to whoever it is that's around you. Passing it on. The Levite mom just didn't pass on one thing or two things. She passed two. She passed her child on. She passed Moses on and even got paid to nurse Moses, knowing that God had a plan for her child's life. And so we should have the same attitude as the Levite mom, as to pass on our children and grandchildren and those that God has placed in our lives, knowing that God has a plan for them. You might not have even given birth to them, but God has a plan. Amen? And then just to conclude, you know, passing it on has very significant meaning in the track world, especially when you're running a relay. Let me find this page here. Especially when you're running a relay. And it's kind of the sound that no relay runner wants to hear when you're trying to do that. They don't want to hear the ping pings as the batons drop to the field. But at the 2008 Beijing Olympics, the United States men's and women's 4x100 meter relay teams dropped batons, and they heard the pings of them hitting the track. And during a disastrous performance that prompted the chief executive USA Track and Field to promise a comprehensive review of the entire relay program. 4 years earlier in Athens, shoddy baton passing by the American men had allowed a British relay team to pull off an upset, while the United States women's team was disqualified after a botched exchange. There have been similar troubles at the World Championships. On the surface, relay batons don't seem hard. They're about 12 inches long, smoothly cylindrical, free from adornments, and they go by a simple nickname, the stick. Yet every runner fears the ping that can make years of hope come tumbling down to the track. One sprinter compared the challenge of the baton exchange to a harried traveler trying to catch up to and hold hands with his wife as he maneuvered on a moving walkway in a crowded airport. But if you want to win, you got to pass this baton. Before the 2012 London Olympics, one of the men on the USA relay team said, "We've got the history and we've got the talent right now. No one can deny that. We just need to get the stick around. That's it. We just need to get the stick all the way around and win." To give our children the win, you got to pass the baton. The baton for us is God's word. There's nothing else to pass. It's God's word. If you know this word, and God is working on you and changing you, it's easy to pass on. What is it to pray with your children at night? To read a devotion with them? To take something that happened at school and turn it into a God thing? What is it? What is it to send them off? And if they know how to pray, they can pray for a classmate. How does that sound? Sounds good, doesn't it? When your child knows that there's a God in heaven, when they don't reach 21 years of age and think, you know what? There wouldn't be a whole lot of suffering in the world if there was a God, therefore there's no God. To make up silly philosophical junk lies like that. That they know without a doubt that we have conditions because sin is a condition in the world. And it's something that we have to overcome. What if we sent them out into the world solid, knowing that no one could change their minds, that no one could turn them around? Because they serve a great and awesome, awesome God. Amen? That's our lesson for today. We need to pass it on. Pass it on. You need to witness to your children today. You know God. Make sure they know God as well. Give them the word. The wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let them know that there's no way that they can get to God without going through Jesus Christ. Let them know that. It doesn't matter either how old they are. You got some older kids? Tell them about Jesus. Amen. They might not want to hear it, but that's okay. Tell them anyway. Tell them anyway. It's never too late, because God is a God that's never too late. God can do whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it. Maybe he's just waiting on you to say the word. Doesn't matter how far they've gone astray. God always has worth in people. And he can always show his glory and his worthiness when he saves someone who you think is lost forever. Amen. That's our sermon for today.